from leaders of Britain's Caribbean and other ethnic communities, because refusal of entry under these terms would mean a lifelong ban from Britain. Several Labour and Liberal Democrat MPs pointed out that this would add to the problems already faced by Britain's ethnic communities whose relatives are refused entry into the UK. Labour MP Barbara Ross.
And I would just like to try and convey to members what it means to have saved the equivalent of very, very many years' salary, to have put on your best clothes, perhaps left the Jamaican countryside, the Bengali countryside, come to the big city in your own country for the first time, got on a plane, come to Heathrow, and to meet the sort of humiliation which is ritually handed out to black people coming on visits to this country. Like many of the members on this side, I have been rung up at all hours of the night by frantic relatives who at the last minute realise that a loved sister, cousin, grandparent, even parent will not be able to come for a wedding or a christening.
Barbara Ross. Another Labour MP, Peter Shaw, says that Caribbean and other ethnic communities in Britain are already separated from their families by distance and the cost of air travel. He also told the House that the change would send out the wrong signals at a time when immigration restrictions for Europeans have been relaxed.
The Minister's introducing this measure, this double discrimination, why the visa system and now plus getting rid of the right of appeal. The very moment when the Single European Act has come into force, when 300 million Europeans are able to come to this country at will, they don't require to prove that they're not going to be a burden on public funds. They don't have to prove that there's adequate housing and accommodation for them. They don't have to prove any of those things at all. They don't have to show or claim that they're going to stay here for 6 months. They can stay here for 6 years. That is what the government at this very moment has granted to 300 million Europeans, very few of whom have the human and family contact with people in this country.
Peter Shaw. In winding up the debate, Junior Home Office Minister Charles Wardle accused his opponents of twisting the facts of the bill, which had been changed since its first reading. He accused them of scaremongering amongst Britain's Caribbean community.
Other members this evening have made references to the Caribbean. I think it is worth pointing out yet again, as has been pointed out in committee, that most of the Caribbean islands are not countries which require visas to this country. Take, for example, the island of Jamaica, which has been alluded to in debate. Jamaicans are not visa nationals for the purposes of visits to this country. And it's worth bearing in mind that in 1991, there were some 26,000 people who visited this country from the island of Jamaica, which was once my own home, and just 392 people were refused. So I think, as well as confusion, there's been a degree of humbug and perhaps not a little scaremongering to boot.
Charles Wardle, Britain's junior Home Office Minister. He said the government's watered-down version of Clause 9 would allow appeals to remain in place for some cases. The bill was passed, including Clause 9, with a 51-seat or 51-vote government majority. The bill now goes to the House of Lords. So, what are the chances of the campaign against it succeeding in the future? I spoke to Guyana-born Labour MP Bernie Grant, who has been one of the leaders of the campaign against Clause 9.
Well, we have hopes that the House of Lords will do quite a lot to damage the bill and get rid of Clause 9, primarily because Lord Pitt is going to lead the opposition to Clause 9. He was involved in the original granting of the right of appeal by the Wilson government in the 1960s, and he feels particularly strongly about it, and we expect that he'll be able to get the Lords to do some damage to the bill.
But then is there any guarantee that at the end of the day, because of the action by the House of Lords, it will be removed? What if the Conservative government wants to keep it in place as they obviously want to?
No, there is no guarantee that Clause 9 will be removed. And if the government wants to be stubborn about it, they can have a game of ping-pong between the Lords and the Commons for up to a year. But at the end of that year, the will of the Commons shall prevail, as they say. But what normally happens, because the House of Lords has the church and a number of other interests in it, the government takes note that the elder statespersons and the experts, so to speak, in terms of lawmaking, are opposed to it, and usually the government modifies the bill as a result of opposition in the Lords.
Well, given that at the end of the day, the offending, if you were to call it that, Clause 9, could quite possibly remain, what else then would be on your lobbying agenda?
Well, we've got to make the act, when it becomes an act, inoperable, so that we will be doing a number of things. I mean, for example, in the Parliament, Labour MPs are already saying that if there is no right of appeal, every single case we're going to take directly to the Home Secretary or the Foreign Secretary, so their workload will increase. We have also said that we will publish the names of immigration officers who act in an unreasonable and racist manner in refusing people entry into the country. And, of course, people are entitled to a judicial review for which there is legal aid payable if they are refused leave to enter the country. So that there are a number of things that one can do. We also intend to get the black community to lobby places, courts, etc., where there are cases taking place and so on.
Any plans to enlist Caribbean people back in the Caribbean geographically in your lobby? And if beyond Caribbean people, even Caribbean governments?
Well, I think...